blazing, you know.
David didn't go blazing.
Well, they, this fuel is pretty safe.
Yeah, they used to be really hot gas.
Okay.
It won't do like gas, you know.
Oh, you know.
So anyway.
Didn't know that.
My daughter-in-law, Larsa, turned around there and looked east. And I looked up there on the hill, and boy, he was just, I mean, he was just consumed and amazed with this fire, you know. But he's had a little problem in his speech, you know. They've been getting him some speech therapy, being a woman coming out, working with him. He's doing a lot better than that. He still don't make a lot of sentences, but it does work pretty good. So anyway, after the bonfire and all, we went back to the house there, and I was in the kitchen there, and he come in there, and I said, "Easton, what do you think about that fire Papa made?" He loves trucks, you know. He said, "Fire truck." And I got thinking, what was going through his mind?
Yeah.
His mind there, what's the next big fire? Did it need to be put out? Did he see himself as a fireman or what? But anyway, that intrigued me. But when he said fire truck, that just tickled me. But we want, you know, scriptures talk about him speaking, you know. Word, you know, in James there, it talks about our tongues, you know, fire, you know, sets the world on fire and all.
Yeah.
And so no man can tame it. The Holy Spirit can
yeah.
You know. And I want to look at Proverbs 22, chapter 22. Starting in verse 17, I think it's over that. I thought, well, of course. But it says, I'm going to read out Amplified here. But it says, "Listen, consent and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to knowledge."
What verse?
Proverbs 22:17. And I'm reading out Amplified. It says, "Listen, consent and submit to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to knowledge. For it will be pleasant if you keep them in your mind, believing them, that your lips will be accustomed to confessing them." And here's the purpose. Here's the purpose in it. "So that your trust may be in the Lord. I made these things known unto you today." You. I got thinking about that. "So that your trust may be in the Lord." You know, we come, learn Him, you know, better trust in Him. And we get these mind words in our mind that we can confess them. I was listening to one of my favorite ministers this week, and he was talking about, you know, Elijah. You know, him, the prayer there, you know, and I think it's in James there too, about, you know, about it not raining, you know. But, you know, he said he went back in the Word there, but Elijah, he never prayed. You know, it says the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, but he never actually prayed there to the Lord about that. He confessed it. He went and confessed it, and he spoke it before those kings that it would not. And that's the fervent prayer. Is our confession.
It is. And it's very, that's a very strong prayer.
Very good.
Yeah.
A confession. Even when he got down on his knees and put his head between his legs, he was commanding and confessing and believing. He sent his man out to look and said, "Do you see a cloud? Because I'm praying for rain." You know, the book of James tells us that he was a man just like we are. Because a lot of people think Elijah was, God just dropped Elijah out of heaven somewhere, you know. he had no mother, had no father, you know. But he said he was just like us. He just prayed sincerely and fervently, just like we did.
Just like we
did. I'm going to share this with you, Mary, before Miss Mary comes. You know, maybe mentioned Lorraine, my daughter there. You know, she hadn't been in church in a while now. She just started coming back. But it's probably about August, talking about fellowship and the Holy Ghost. And I was out cutting grass one day, running a lawnmower. And I was praying in the spirit there, you know. And, you know, a lot of times we ask the Lord for things. The Holy Ghost asked me that day, he said, what do you want? Well, you know, my old lawnmower, it's about wore out, you know. And I got thinking about that, and I got thinking about Solomon, you know. You know, maybe the Lord kind of tested me if I need to ask him for some more wisdom, you know, in life. And I kind of run that through my mind there, you know. I thought, you know, I kind of need me a newer truck, you know, need me a newer pickup truck. And all of a sudden, man, it come out my heart. I said, Lord, I want my baby girl. I want my baby girl. And I hope the neighbors weren't looking outside. They thought I was a crazy man. But I knew when he asked me that, I knew whatever it was in this whole wide world he's going to give it to me. I knew I had that insurance because he asked me, what do you want? And I told him I want my baby girl. Well, baby girl's in church. You know, the Bible says, Lord, he'll give you your desires of your heart.
Yes.
But that was my heart's desire.
Yeah.
And I guess I really didn't know it because I sat there thinking on it. What, you know, what really do I want, you know? You know, I got plenty, you know, but what do you want? He gave me my heart's desire.
Yeah.
I was like, Lord, Father, fellowship with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
All right.
Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Jesus. He'll set you up. He'll set you up for doing good things.
Oh, man.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Come
Praise
on,
God.
Man.
Thank you.
That was good.
Amen.
I love
Amen.
It.
Thank you for sharing.
That is awesome.
With us.
Thanks and praise God. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for your blessed word, Lord. And Father, Lord, for giving us revelation of your word, Father. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for speaking with us, Lord, and showing us, Lord, what you would have us do. In Jesus' name, bless Miss Mary, Father. Bless the words, Lord, that she's going to speak this morning by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Ghost, for speaking.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Good morning. Praise God. Now, before I start teaching, I'm going to give some homework.
Oh, good.
Okay, now this is the homework. We know the month of November is what? What do we celebrate in the month of November?
Thanksgiving.
We that is set aside to give thanks. We know every day is a day of thanksgiving. Amen. If you walk with the Lord. Every day is a day of thanksgiving.
Amen.
But November is a time that was set aside for us to reflect and give him thanks. And but this is the assignment. I'm going to give you the assignment before we get into our lesson. This is the assignment. Every night you go to bed, before you go to bed, I want you to take out pen and paper. Or, you know, a lot of people use their cell phones, right? Or take out your cell phone. And I want you to make a list of 5 things that you are thankful to that happened
that day.
Yeah, 5 things that you are thankful for. Now, I know we live in a world where we do experience, you know, other things that you're not so thankful for. Don't let that mess with the 5 things that you can think of that you are thankful for. Only 5. You don't have to, you know, if you want to go a little bit, you can, but start off with 5. We're going to, that's the assignment for the month of November. And then if you want to keep pursuing that, you know, it's your choice. But 5 things that you are thankful for before you go to bed. You can write them down. I don't want you just to sit there in your mind and say, well, I'm thankful for this or thankful for that. I want you to write them down. There is power in writing things down. I found that out, you know, with one of my old church member. She called me early that morning, and I getting ready to take Brother Charles to the doctor, and she called and she was just offering. She said, listen, my son go up for a trial, and I just need you to pray today, you know. It's only God going to be able to get him released from that. And I'm like, God, of all days, she called, you know. I'm trying to get out the door with my husband, trying to get him into. And so I drove, I got in the car and I drove. I said, well, I'll write something down when I get to the doctor's office, because I'm getting there earlier than the trial, you know. Then, so I drove him there and I said, God, but how am I going to write it down? Because I'm going to have to go back there with where he, you know, where he is. They going to, the nurse, I mean, you know, I got to go back there. And so I said, so we got there and got settled down and all this good stuff. And the nurse came out and said, you can stay here, Miss Johnson. I'm going to take him back here. And you can stay here today. And we'll bring him back. We're going to take good care of him. I said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I brought out that notebook. I start writing and just, you know, dealing with that. Lord, just writing it down, you know. I said, Lord, this is serious. I'm going to have to write this down, you know. So I wrote it down and got finished with it. And I seen this old man looking toward my way. I said, oh, God, don't you send him this way, because I'm trying to finish this prayer. So after I finished, she came, and it was okay because I had finished. And so when I got back home, she called me. She said, Sister Mary, this has never happened before. Said, them folks got so confused, they just did. She said they had to throw that case out.
Wow. All right. Wow. Amen.
And that was how I wrote the prayer. Wow. So it's power in writing things down. Power in it. Trust me. He wrote the word down. So it's power in writing things down. So write down, that's the assignment.
That's good stuff.
Did you say something?
I said, that's good stuff.
Yeah, write it down. And, well, since we in the month, you know, what we had planned today was to talk more on what we were talking on. But I think today, since it is the month of Thanksgiving, I am going to talk about the attitude of gratitude.
Amen.
Being thankful and making it an attitude, not just a, make it a lifestyle. Make it part of your attitude. An attitude of gratitude, being thankful, a thankful heart. You know, I'm going to give you snapshots of people that was not thankful, that God had to deal with in the Old Testament, that was not thankful. And I think we all know who those were. And we're not exempt today. We live a life that sometimes it get crowded and we get to complaining and murmuring and saying, oh God, I got to get it. And I've heard folks, when it rains, it pours. And you know, and behind all that, I got to get up and go to Fresh Start this morning. You know, and it's cold out there. You know, it's a lot of complaining, murmuring, and I don't complain that I have to come to Fresh Start. I said, Lord, thank you. I get to come to Fresh Start. I get to come to First Seekers class. So we have two classes. We have First Seekers, and then we have First Seekers for those that, you know, just want a little bit more. You know, they want it. And then we have Fresh Start for those that, you know. So we have it both ways. But when we develop an attitude of gratitude, you'll get more. Just think about when you had children. I took my little grandchild to this place, trampoline place, where they jump and just run and have fun. And all the kids were just jumping and running. But this was one particular little girl. I mean, she was just crying about everything. She couldn't enjoy herself. I mean, her daddy was sitting there. She ran back to him just whining and complaining. I'm like, all these things here for you to play with. And you're just wide, just can't enjoy it. You just, see, complaining makes us not enjoy our life. Complaining. You can't enjoy it when you're complaining and you're not thankful. But when you're in a thankful heart, yeah. I mean, if I was that father, I would say, I'll wait and not bring you back again. You know, because her sisters and brothers, they were having so much fun, and she was just, nothing made her happy. Nothing, I mean, I'm like, okay. But it was okay. I'm able to share with you this morning that little girl that had no attitude or gratitude that, you know, her parent, and it was three, you know, and to pay that price for three or four kids, I don't think she really knew, you know, the price her father paid to get them all there. She would have been more thankful, but nothing, not even the food, nothing. I mean, she just had a night of misery.
And the problem with that is, if she doesn't overcome that, what if she's 15 or 16?
Whoa. Now that's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
When she gets older. But let's go to Numbers 14 and 2. Numbers 14 and 1. And we're going to read, let's start the first verse. We're going to read about these people that, I mean, they just complained. They wasn't thankful for what God had did for them. Numbers 14 and the first chapter. Say, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. Grown people crying. And the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Let us just die. I mean, my God.
They
surely did. I mean, when you're complaining, when you're murmuring and grumbling, guess what? The enemy gonna make sure you get what he comes in.
Yeah.
He gonna make sure you get what you're murmuring, grumbling, and complaining about. Now, this is what made them so upset. Let me back up in the 13th chapter to kind of read what brought on all this. Because, see, this 14th chapter doesn't tell you what went on. The 32nd chapter. And they brought an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sights as what?
Grasshoppers.
And so we were in their sight. You know, that's what brought on the crying and the weeping and the, you know, they just began to murmur against Moses. They thought they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron. But who told them to go into that land?
God.
They weren't murmuring against Moses and Aaron. Those were the two people they could see.
Yeah.
How would you like the whole congregation to be against you? And I know Moses like, God. Because that was a great number of people. When you said all of the congregation, that was a great number. And they wishing to die. And God had done so much for them already. They had seen God parted the Red Sea. When they left Egypt, not one dog wag their tail at them. And not a feeble one came out of Egypt. And I mean, they left. And couldn't they put some of that together, mix a little faith there with some of that they had seen, you know? But no, they cried. And they cried all night. And they wept. And they murmured against Moses and Aaron and wanted to die. Listen, they didn't really want to die. Because if they wanted to die, they could have died.
Yes, ma'am.
But they really didn't want it to die. But their heart was just so... they thought they was going into a promised land and wouldn't have no conflicts there or nothing like that. And they just thought it was just going to be a land of... What they came out of, they had conflict. They were getting whipped in the land of Egypt.
They had slave mentality, though. They thought as a slave.
Yes, they had slave mentality, but these slaves had seen God do wonders for them. Yeah. Let me tell you, the center people, the foreigners, they were like, when we heard them crossing over, we almost melted. And I mean, we was afraid because we knew what God had done for them by parting the Red Sea. And the sinners, I mean, the foreign people, the sinners, they were scared to hear that they were coming. And hear God's people. God's people.
Delayed by 40 years because of this.
Hear murmuring and grumbling and complaining. And they can't see God do it. They saw the giants bigger than what God had said. Only two out of the whole congregation was of a different spirit, saw something different.
And they made it into the promised land because of that.
Huh?
They made it into the promised land because of that.
They did. They did. And remember, they came out of slavery too.
Yes, ma'am. Mentality.
But I'm talking about Joshua and Caleb.
Yes, ma'am.
But they were of a different spirit because they had seen God moved in some mighty ways.
Trusted.
And they were like, hey, come on, God. They were like, hey, let's go up tomorrow. Let's go up today. Let's go up at once. Let's take this land. But the rest of them. Now, I'm going to tell you, when Joshua sent them up to spy the land, how many did he send? He didn't send one from every tribe. How many did he send? Only two. He said, I'm not sending up 12. I'm only sending up two. To spy out the land. Okay, let's get back here. We see here, here's a group of people that murmuring and complaining. And God had, I mean, if we walked across on dry land, if we seen, I mean, but these people didn't have no relationship with God.
Yes, that's the key in
it. They had no, every time God wanted to meet with them, they would say, no, Moses. We're gonna stay in and eat a late breakfast. You go and we'll get it from you. We don't wanna spend time with God. We don't wanna learn from God. We don't want no relationship.
Boy, that's all.
And they had the same opportunity that Moses had.
And they were physically seeing him too at the tabernacle.
Huh?
They knew that he was in that tabernacle. They could see the light and everything. Smoke up. They saw it and they still didn't want
I mean they saw it. But still no relation.
Can I say something?
Yes.
You just got me thinking, like the end time church with the signs and wonders. That's very important, all those signs and wonders, because God deals with signs and wonders.
But the relationship.
It leaves if you don't, as the end time church, we don't get the relationship
developed. Amen. That's the reason we're reaching for the greater glory.
Amen.
His presence.
Yes. Woo, glory.
Want his presence.
Amen.
We want his presence, his manifested presence. I like Mike, I like all of them little angels, but we want his manifested
amen.
Presence.
Yes, amen.
Woo, okay.
Glory.
Hashakaya.
That's the important. We want signs and wonders because God's a God of signs and wonders. And he says it many times in the Bible. Like Moses and them saw the same things the murmuring complainers did. But the relationship, like you said, with God was what's so important. And that's why we've got to have a church with a close relationship with God.
Ooh, that just,
and then that church, as people come in by the hundreds of millions or how many gods out there, that relationship, God's presence in that relationship will be full and strong because we're going to make
good.
Disciples.
That's good, Mary. That is good.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm going to read down here in the 14th verse. And they said to one another, let's make a captain, and let's return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face because of all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. You know, the reason Moses and them fell on their face, because they said, They knew they were about to get, them children was about to get, God was about to do something very bad to them.
Yep.
And they rented their clothes, they got on their face, God, please don't, I mean, you know, I know, you know. Okay, I'm out of my time, but I wanted to make a connection. I'm going to have to connect it. I'm going to have to do this connection. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. We've got to make this connection. Because we got a warning over here. We're not exempt. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10. The writer of Corinthians gave us a warning as children of God. The 10th verse, it said, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and was destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured and was destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world come. You know, he's telling us, he warning us, you'll get in trouble when you live a life of complaining and mumming and murmuring and just complaining and just, I mean, when you murmur, you don't say it loud. You just, you know, just, you know, sometimes we just say things within ourselves. Sometimes it's just even a thought. I just wish, you know, I'm, you know, just complaining sometimes within. Ain't nobody really here. God hear you.